Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining today's State, Local, Tribal, and Private Sector Policy Advisory Committee, or SLTPS PAC. This meeting is also known as SLTPS PAC, sorry about that, to receive all pertinent information about upcoming SLTPS PAC meetings, please subscribe to the Information Security Oversight Office's overview blog at https://isu-overview.blogs.archives.gov or by going to the Federal Register. All available meeting materials have been posted to the ISU website at www.archives.gov/isu/oversight-groups/slltps-pack/committee.html and have also been emailed to all registrants. Let me now turn things over to Mr. Mark Bradley, the director of ISU, as well as the chairman of the SLTPS PAC.
Thank you so much, Madam Producer, for your usual kind introduction. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 22nd meeting of the State, Local, Tribal, and Private Sector Policy Advisory Committee, commonly known as the SLTPS PAC. This is a public meeting. The transcript and minutes will be available within 90 days on the SLTPS PAC Reports on Committee Activities webpage at www.archives.gov/isu/oversight-groups/SLTPS-PAC/committee.html. Please mute your phones and only unmute when speaking. All right, I'll now take attendance, as I usually do. All right. DHS Vice Chairman Richard McComb, are you present?
I am. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Rich. DHS Alternate Ricardo Duran.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Ricardo.
Morning.
Good morning. DOE member Mark Hynoski.
He's not participating today. This is Tracy Kendall filling in for Mark.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. DOE alternate Natasha Sumter.
Good morning. I'm here.
Okay, great. Oh, she's here. I thought you were going to be off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm back. Thank you.
Okay, great. NRC member Sabrina Attack. NRC alternate Daryl Parsons.
This is Vern Stapleton standing in for Mr. Parsons today.
Great. Right. DOT member Sidoni Dunham. Right. DOD member Michael Russo.
Good morning, present.
Hi, Michael. ODNI member Valerie Kerbin.
Good morning, Mark. It's Valerie.
Hey, Valerie. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Right. FBI member Jake Zuckert.
Present.
Hi, Jake. FBI alternate Scott Gerlach. All right. CIA member Brian O'Neill. State Department member Kate Connor.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Kate. DOJ member Glenn Bensley.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you.
DCSA member Keith Minard. DCSA alternate Derek Broussard.
I'm here. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. SLTPS Vice Chair Private Sector Mark Sox.
Good morning, Mark. Mark is here.
Hi, Mark. SLTPS State East Member Eric Tzarzik. SLTPS Local East Member Megan Tubner.
Present.
Hi, Megan. SLTPS Local East Member Shelley Schechter. Right. SLTPS State West Member Deborah Ann Windsor. SLTPS Private Sector Member Jeffrey Imsdahl. SLTPS State Mountain Member Kevin Klein.
Present. Thank you.
Hi, Kevin. You're welcome. Is anyone else speaking during the MISPAC that we have not heard from or do I not know about? If so, please speak now. Okay. We request that everyone identify themselves by name and agency, if applicable, before speaking each time for the record. I want to remind government members of the requirement to annually file a financial disclosure report with the National Archives and Records Administration's Office of the General Counsel, the same form of financial disclosure that is used throughout the federal government. OGE Form 450 satisfies reporting requirements. A member of my staff should have already reached out to you asking for it if you haven't already sent it in. If you have any questions, please just let us know. We have a few changes to the SLTPS PAC membership for the next meeting. Our vice chair, Mark Sox, finishes his term in July. That being said, we have a few slots open for membership now. We're also trying to get a member of the National Security Council or Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to be a member of the SLTPS PAC, but have not yet been able to do so. Rich McComb and I talked about this a couple months ago. We think it's the right thing to do, smart thing to do, and obviously the NSC's bandwidth has been kind of overwhelmed recently with Ukraine et al., but we are still on the case. Please send all nominations that you might have to Heather Harris-Pagan. Everyone on the call should have her contact information. If not, we can certainly get it for you. Additionally, I think most of you know by now that Greg Pannoni, the designated federal officer for the NISPAC, will be retiring. This is his last SLTPS PAC meeting before he retires next month after 42 years of government service, of which more than 17 was with us here at ISU. Greg has been an integral part of the security community. He will be sorely missed, not only professionally, but also personally. He's been a great deputy and a wonderful friend. Thank you for your dedicated lifelong service, Greg, and obviously we wish you nothing but the best. We still have a month to commemorate your service. Once he retires, Heather Harris-Pagan will be acting as the designated federal officer for the SLTPS until replacement for Bob Skaras has been named. Bob used to do this, if you remember. And another member of my staff, Robert Tringali, will be acting as the designated foreign officer until replacement for Greg has been announced. So anyway, I mean, we will fill the vacancies as soon as we can. I also wanted to give you a little bit of notice about the National Archives and our opening status. I mean, we are still in a hybrid mode. It seems to me like every other week, you know, an active case of COVID pops up. And so we're going in as necessary for, obviously, for classified stuff and things like that. But we have not yet moved towards holding larger meetings. I hope, as I've said, I think now for 2 years, 2.5 years, we can have this in person. I hope the next time we meet, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that actually can happen. Right, the SLTPS PAC minutes from the last meeting were finalized and posted to the ICU website on April 25th, 2022. All right. Heather Harris-Pagan, ICU, will now address the status of action items from the January 26th, 2022 meeting, the last one we had. Heather?
Thank you, Mark. There were four action items from the last meeting. The FBI is still working on providing its SLTPS security clearance data to DCSA to include, if possible, the effort to identify non-task force officers in their systems for inclusion in the data transfers. The SLTPS PAC has been focusing on this issue for a couple of years, and the FBI has made a lot of progress in the past couple of years. The FBI reported that they have been engaged in end-to-end testing of the data transfer process with DCSA. FBI, please expect to provide an update in 2023 during our next meeting. For the second outstanding action item, when COVID-19 restrictions have eased, ICE will host a meeting in its SCIF with the ODNI and other entities as appropriate to examine why the intelligence community is unable to determine the current number of SLTPS personnel that it has cleared and to seek a means to obtain this information. Until then, the issue remains tabled. For the third item, the DHS Vice Chair provided their formal comments on the 15 recommendations of the Cyber Threat Information Sharing Working Group. ICE plans on continuing discussions on the recommendations and the comments from the DHS Vice Chair and the SLTPS Vice Chair. The Chair will then determine potential ways forward and communicate them to the SLTPS PAC membership. The fourth action item is getting engagement from the Secret Services School for Law Enforcement that work in forensics, the United States Secret Service, USSS, National Computer Forensics Institute, NCFI. The USSS NCFI is a partnership between the USSS, DHS, State of Alabama, and the Alabama District Attorneys Association to train state and local law enforcement, judges and prosecutors, in digital evidence, network intrusion, and computer and mobile device forensics issues. NCFI training courses are offered for free for state, local, tribal, and territorial government attendees through funding from the federal government. Mark, could you provide any other information you had on that? Mark Socks, please.
Pretty well there. It's one of the Secret Service courses to open enforcement. Others at no cost to those organizations.
Mark, you're fading out on us.
Can you hear?
You keep breaking up.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I think Heather, you covered it quite well, and it's of conversation our last PAC meeting from the NYC information sharing. Some point in the future, the invitation to the PAC, I think that would be very good and would help others.
Thanks, Mark. For anyone that didn't get that, so I'm curious, Megan, is the NYPD aware of the program?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch much of anything. That was just bad.
So the Secret Service has a free school that forensics police officers can do.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if the NYPD was aware of the program. If not, is there a way to get the word out? If there's a good way to get the word out to all police departments in the U.S. in this digital age, this is, you know, right up, you know, exactly what I think, you know, would help, you know.
Absolutely.
With
sorry to interrupt you. I apologize.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. No, please, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, absolutely any amount of additional training, any information sharing on best practices, what has worked in the past, what they've learned from past investigations is always helpful for local law enforcement to hear and to get training on. I'm not certain how broadly that awareness is in the NYPD, but, you know, we have ways that we can share information, and perhaps it would be best to link somebody up with our kind of Office of Professional Development and Training Bureau. And then, you know, we have a program with the NYPD called Operation Sentry. That is a network of, I think, now 400 or 500 plus law enforcement agencies across the U.S., local law enforcement that has been kind of created by the NYPD for information sharing purposes. We share a lot of the products that we write in our analytic unit that are law enforcement sensitive or unclassified through the Sentry program, primarily focused on terrorism, domestic violent extremism, although sometimes we do include some pieces that have a bit of a cyber awareness, maybe more like cyber hygiene type message. So this program reaches, you know, it's 400, 500 agencies, I think 800 individual participants in the Sentry program. And then, you know, once we get it out to the agency, it is understood that they know that they can share that then with it, within their agency and any local partners that they think it would be helpful. So that's one way that we could, through the NYPD, get that message out further to a local law enforcement community, although, of course, you know, DHS and the Fusion Center system all have these great partnerships as well, and that would be another great way through, you know, DHS SLTT program or their INA regional representatives as well.
Kevin Klein, you know, we can just send it out to the Fusion Center Network and ask them to deploy it to all local law enforcement. It's easy.
Megan, if we could get together offline, I would love to speak to your POC.
Yes, absolutely. Happy to do that. Not a problem.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do any SLTPS PAC members have any questions? All right. Thank you, Mark.
This
I'll go over it out to you.
Hold on.
Yes, please.
Let me just add, if you that's National Cyber Forensics Institute.
Mark, you're still breaking up. Or,
I don't know on this end, but anyway, it's NCFISSS. How about it there? Plus the...
Heather, if you would follow up with him to get what he's saying, that would...
Yes, sir.
Okay, with that, I'm going to ask Rich McComb, the executive agent for the program, representing Homeland Security, to speak. Rich, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mark. As always, appreciate everybody's participation. The really the only thing that I have to add is what Mark mentioned earlier and relates to one of the action items that Heather mentioned with regard to the cyber threat information recommendation. So there, in accordance with the bylaws of the PAC, I have recommended and we are formally staffing this recommendation to the chair that the that a member of the cybersecurity information cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency is added as a member of this PAC due to the fact of their subject matter expertise in the cyber arena, their mandate to work across the federal government and along with state, local, tribal, territorial, and private sector infrastructure partners for information sharing, and their connection with the National Security Council efforts in the cyber arena. We think, and I believe Mark agrees, that they'll be a very useful resource and help to address some of the things that the Cyber Threat Working Group brought up previously here. So we are staffing that effort and look forward to giving CISA the opportunity to be an active member of the PAC should the chair approve that action. Thank you.
Great. And this is the chair. Let me echo what Rich said. I think it's a wonderful idea. It allows us to cut to the chase and speak to the powers that be directly and voice our concerns. And again, I think Rich is the one who came up with this idea, and I think it's very, very well received. So thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Okay, let me see. We're now at the point in the meeting where we ask for SLTPS PAC members to present any new business they may have. Anyone, any committee member have anything they want to bring up in the new business category? All right.
Hi, Mark. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Of course, I'm not a committee member, but it just comes to mind. And in consideration, Heather and I were at a conference last week with 1,200 people, industry type people, wherein it was made known to them that the two orders that have an impact on the work of the state, local, tribal, private sector program. That being the Classified National Security Information Program and the Controlled Unclassified Information Program. Those two executive orders, as Mark knows, have been formally, I'll put in quotes, opened for revision amendment, or are about to be in a week. There'll be a kickoff meeting. And so I'm only bringing this up, one, in the interest of transparency, and two, I would suspect that the chair would agree that as we progress, it's a one-year process, we will probably be reaching out to this community of stakeholders to get your input on any recommended revisions to those two executive orders as they, you know, as an overlay, they would have an impact, I believe, potentially those changes could on this program. So that's just a suggestion to you as the chair, Mark.
Okay. No, a good suggestion at that. So anyway, stand by. I think that the first kickoff meeting right now is slated for July 7th, and then we'll see what the pace of that is going to be. So we will keep this committee informed and advised about what's going on with it.
Mr. Chair, Kevin Klein, can we just see what that process looks like so those of us who are relatively new know how to make sure that our input gets back up to the executive order level?
Sure. I mean, the best way to give your changes or proposed changes would be to directly send it to us, and then that way we could make sure. Excuse me, who's speaking now? Hello? Yeah.
I think that was background noise.
Oh.
Thanks. Mark, this is Greg Pannoni. That may
yeah.
have been Mark Sox, but we've been having trouble hearing
nope.
him.
Nope,
right.
Wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you. I'm sorry. Now we hear you loud and clear,
right.
Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I do.
Yeah, right. But anyway, please use us, I mean, the ISU staff, as the conduit for any suggestions you may have either in the CUI order or the one that governs classification and declassification. Again, this is right now. This is supposed to be a year-long process, so there'll be plenty of time to weigh in on what's going to happen. All right. That aside, do any other committee members have any questions or remarks before we close out this meeting today in record time?
Hi, Mark. This is Rich McComb, DHS.
Yeah, Rich.
Vice Chair, I apologize. I should have, during my comments, deferred to Ricardo, who would be happy to give an update on DHS activities regarding the SLTPS community.
Of course. All right, Ricardo, the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
So, good morning, everyone. My name is Ricardo with DHS, and I'm responsible for the DHS Security and Compliance Program. So, basically, this program provides security oversight to our partners within the SLTPS community. And here's some quick stats and figures. It's basically an update. Topic one, SLTPS clearance numbers. DHS has approximately 9,000 SLTPS personnel with DHS-sponsored security clearances, which is roughly 88% of this population have a secret clearance, and the remaining 12% have a clearance at the TS level. Second topic, SLTPS compliance and governance. Since the last PAC meeting, DHS has performed 2 room certifications for 2 new fusion centers and conducted 6 on-site security performance assessments, bringing a total of 10 for this fiscal year. 100% of all findings, which are discrepancies, fell into 2 security discipline categories, InfoSec and physical security. Third topic for FY23. Currently, DHS is gathering data and compiling the list to create an FY23 compliance schedule to perform within our community partners. So obviously, our main goal is to assess policy compliance along with the evaluation of maintaining the reliability and functionality of DHS-sponsored secure rooms throughout the community. How we plan to execute our compliance activities. Our methodology will vary. We are planning for on-site engagements, remote assessments, and incorporating a hybrid concept, a combination of both on-site with remote evaluations. Besides incorporating risk management, our other factors for the variation the way we execute our compliance is obviously the pandemic, right? We still have to adhere to safety protocols, travel restrictions, both within the federal government and at the user end, you know, further restrictions within the state and the municipality. The last topic, security incidents. DHS has processed and closed out 7 security incidents involving state and local employees, which were assigned to fusion centers. All 7 security incidents were determined to fall under the category of security infractions versus security violations, meaning It was determined that there were no willful negligence nor compromise of national classified information. Pending any questions, this concludes my briefings.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Ricardo? Okay.
All right, our next SLTPS PAC is scheduled for January 4th, 2023. As I've said many times before, we're hoping to have the next one in person. But as usual, we'll also plan for it to be 100% virtual. As a reminder, all SLTPS PAC meeting announcements are posted in the Federal Register approximately 30 days before the meeting, along with being posted to the ISU blog. All right, with that, unless somebody else has something to say, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all so much, and please stay well.